Hello and welcome to Parley, the Hindu's weekly discussion podcast where we get experts to deliberate on the top news issues of the day. My name is Jayant Sriram and I'm your host for today. As the second wave of the pandemic rages across India, the country's overcrowded prisons are in danger of becoming major hotspots for the spread of the disease. Dozens of political prisoners, however, mainly civil rights activists, continue to languish in prison indefinitely with no possibility that their trials will commence anytime soon. Should political prisoners be released in view of the pandemic situation? That is the issue we discuss today, and I'm joined by Senior Advocate Sanjay Hegde and National General Secretary for the People's Union for Civil Liberties, V. Suresh. Dr. Suresh and Mr. Hegde, welcome to the Hindu's Parley podcast today. Thank you for making time for us.
Thank you for having us, Jen.
So, we're discussing the issue of political prisoners and whether they should be released from prison during this pandemic situation that's raging across the country right now. And so, you know, just today as we're recording, another bail plea has been dismissed in the Bhima Koregaon case, that's of Mr. Gautam Lavlaka, by the Supreme Court. And you know, when we talk about political prisoners, there are a few prominent cases that come to mind that we know of because they appear in the media. The Bhima Koregaon case is one. There is the anti-CA protest. There is the Delhi violence. There's political prisoners in Kashmir. But I wanted to start by asking you, Dr. Suresh, are there political prisoners across the country that we just don't know about? And, you know, how is there any effort to document these people or give them legal aid?
The unfortunate reality is that people seem to think that the political prisoners are there only with regard to these high-fly cases. In actuality, there are cases involving political offenses where there are people arrested in across 13 states that we know of. In fact, we ourselves were very surprised in the PUCL when we started here conducting virtual hearings at a state level, that at least about 12 to 13 states where hundreds of people have been arrested and kept inside for essentially what are political offenses. Political offenses meaning that they have been put inside on account of their political affiliations or on allegations that they are front organizations or that they participated in conspiracies of a political nature. I mean, if that is the definition of political offense, there are hundreds of these prisoners. And it's a pity that many of them are not known. Their cases have not come to the public eye. There are hundreds of Adivasi prisoners in Chhattisgarh, in Jharkhand. There are people belonging to the minority communities in Karnataka, in Rajasthan, in Gujarat, in Maharashtra, apart from UP, Delhi, and other places. So yes, there are many, many political prisoners in many of these cases, in many of these states, whose issues have not come into the public attention.
Right. And Mr. Hegde, moving to you, you know, bail is repeatedly denied to political prisoners in India today. So, you know, during this pandemic situation, what could possibly be the justification for, you know, overcrowding prisons, keeping these people in prison?
See, why were they arrested in the first place? They were arrested in the first place because the political executive headed by the respective home ministries, whether at the center or the state, said, do something about these fellows. The police then file an FIR, do an investigation in which results in a charge sheet. In the meanwhile, they arrest the person. Then the arrest is defended through the courts. And when particularly harsh provisions like the UAPA are applied, then there is, thanks to certain judgments of the Supreme Court, there's almost no chance of the person getting bail in the interim period. Now, if a UAPA provision is invoked or if something like sedition is invoked, technically the sentence could extend to life. So therefore, these people do not even have the benefit of ordinary administrative orders which have been passed, which say that anybody likely to face a sentence of less than 7 years can be released during the pandemic. The courts themselves have passed such orders. Administrations have passed such orders. but then they will not apply to the to anybody who is like who may face a sentence above 7 years. It's a different thing that though that these trials do not start. When they do start, they end in acquittal. They end in acquittal sometimes many years after the 14 years that a normal life sentence entails. We do not have a system in the country. We have a process, and the process is the punishment itself.
Right. And, you know, during this situation for prisoners held under provisions like UAPA, is there any other recourse besides just repeatedly applying for bail?
The only other recourse is political. Unless the charges under UAPA are dropped, the state always has the right to withdraw charges. The state will not do it. So therefore, and the moment UAPA or anything is invoked, the judges give it the extremely careful attention that it deserves, which tends to be to lean more towards keeping the person detained. None of our laws were built the idea that a pandemic could intervene. None of our laws can be interpreted in a manner to say that during the pandemic, that too will become a circumstance. All that we are doing temporarily is to suspend ordinary laws during the pandemic, or say that in ordinary cases, we will let go. But end of the day, the virus is not a respecter of people, of sentences, or how long a person is likely to be imprisoned. The virus just sees people who are bundled together, who are huddled together, and it spreads. Now, I do not see the logic of keeping people in prison, not giving them bail, risking a virus, and then letting them die without even a determination of innocence or guilt. There
right.
has to be a method where the courts say that in pandemic times you can treat them to be continually in detention, but you can release them to be with their families. Those methods can also be evolved, but they have not been done.
Right. And Dr. Suresh, just to sort of get you in on this as well, I'd like to ask you to respond to what Mr. Hegde said. And also just to point out that sometime last year, when the pandemic kind of was in its initial days, there was a statement from the UN also saying that political prisoners should be released first. I think this was an advisory of some sort released to various countries, but has it actually been acted upon anywhere?
See, the first thing that we need to acknowledge is the irony in our criminal justice system. To put it as an aphorism, one can say that the law defines the offense, but the state defines the offender. Which means the law may say that a particular offense will come under UAPA or will constitute a terrorist offense or will constitute a seditious offense. But it is not merely what the law says. It is what the state defines. State ultimately, through its political, through the arm of the police, determines whether to invoke the criminal law or not. And therefore, the state role becomes very important. So when the state defines offender, and that's where the mischief comes in. Now, we saw that in the Delhi violence. Now, it's a misnomer to call what happened in Northeast Delhi last year in February, March, as a riot. There was no riot. It was a pogrom. It was a very clearly targeted political violence of one set of people with the support of the ruling party against the minorities. Now, in those cases, there are enough documented evidence of members of the union cabinet, of members of the ruling party, or egging people on into violence. But the state did not think it's important that these people should be challenged. And therefore, till date, they have not been made accused in any case. So when the state defines the offender, that's when the big mischief comes in. Unfortunately, this reality is not taken into account by the high courts and the Supreme Court, who very well know the poor conviction rate in UAPA and sedition cases. Now, since we are talking exclusively about political prisoners, we are therefore talking about offenses where the state says that the people involved are people who have been seditionists, working against the country, threat to national security, and various other offenses. Now, let's look at the conviction rates. The conviction rates, even by the NCRP report of 2019, shows a very, very low 3.1% conviction rate in UAPA cases. Now, if you take up earlier anti-terror laws like TADA, TADA had about 1.4%, POTA had almost 3%, but on the whole, abysmal conviction rates. Now, the conviction rates are poor not because the investigating officers goofed up, but because these offenses many times did not actually take place. They were cooked up by the policemen themselves with the egging of the political executive, and these cases came to be put about. Now, this has been a claim for PUCL for a long time, that in many of these cases, like Mr. Hegde said, the process itself is a punishment. We have been telling them that if you let people out on bail, that itself will reduce the harshness of many of these laws. Now, in a context like corona, with the pandemic that is raging all around, the classification of prisoners into those who are either facing trial or convicted for up to 7 years, above 7 years, and a third category, prisoners under trial or convicts who have been put inside under special laws, including the various public safety acts, the COCA type of law, and UAPA and sedition law. Now, this defies common sense. When you have such poor conviction rate, what is the justification in keeping people inside for a long period during corona when they are absolutely at the mercy of the prison administration? Now, this issue went up from Bombay High Court when the NAPM filed a challenge to the Bombay High Powered Committee, which kept aside people as political prisoners, saying that they are clearly a covered category not to be considered for release under the corona guidelines. This went up to the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court, in an order dated 22nd of September, upheld the Bombay High Court order by saying that this classification is correctly wrong, that people who are under political offenses need not consider. Now, the issue that is not being taken into consideration either by the High Powered Committee or by the High Courts or the Supreme Court is the fact when such poor conviction rates exist for UAPA and sedition cases, what is the justification for keeping them inside? Merely because there is an allegation against them under these so-called anti-terror laws. So there's no justification for keeping them inside. Now, the latest order of the Bombay High Court in a PUCL application before the Bombay High Court records that there are 241 prisoners who were tested positive, and that the number of the more worrying fact was the fact of the jail staff themselves now being found positive in greater numbers, which within a space of 2 weeks climbed from 97 staff found positive to 117 jail staff found positive. And the court also records the fact that more than the prisoners themselves being COVID, it is actually the staff who keep moving inside and outside of the jails who are the main people who are responsible for increasing the COVID positive rates inside. So when you look at it from any which angle, you look at it from the jurisprudential angle, you look at it from the political angle, you look at it from the conviction rate, you look at it from the vicious rate, there is no justification in both humanitarian as also legal terms for keeping these prisoners in jail for such long periods. They should be let out under stringent conditions. The courts have also recorded the fact that 95% of people who are let out on interim bail following last year's Supreme Court order have reported back when the situation had improved in January this year. So there's no reason why these prisoners should not be let out on bail. All the more because they are political prisoners. They are not going to escape. They are not going to run. They are not going to evade justice. And they will not commit any other crime. And they will definitely come back once the situation eases to face the crime.
Right. Mr. Hegde, if I can just bring up an associated issue that Dr. Suresh brought up there. There is the fact that prisons are globally also, and in India, they're considered hotspots for the spreading of the pandemic. There have been numerous occasions in which the courts have taken up this issue of the overcrowding of prisons. Have any of those reforms actually been sort of, I mean, any of those guidelines advocated actually been acted upon?
Well, the courts can pass orders. Implementation lies with the administration. And if the administration doesn't implement it in a pandemic, it is hardly likely that there will be material before the courts to pull up the administration in contempt or anything like that. To the best of my knowledge, all that the administration has been doing is to try and decongest the prisons. But decongestion by itself is no guarantee against non-infection. We have no idea about prisoners' vaccinations. The congestion still continues in a large portion because even where people are released on bail or on parole, many of them actually are unable to meet bail conditions, for instance. The point is that unless the administration, as a matter of policy, relooks at all these prosecutions that it has launched and says that, okay, where there are no repeat offenders, where the offenses are relatively marginal, where people have spent a year or two in prison, it is better to just close the file by withdrawing the prosecution or even accepting a plea bargain from the prisoner so that they can be released into society and into the slightly better safety that the outside world affords. Otherwise, what you're essentially doing is allowing the possibility of small sentences to degenerate into a sentence of death within the prison walls.
Right. You mentioned that the administration should relook at some of these cases. Is there scope for the Supreme Court to kind of take this up suo motu? That record on this obviously is a bit patchy. They continue to deny bail in many cases.
Well, this wave, I hope, and the current evidence seems to suggest that we are towards the peak of the wave and the numbers are coming down. The Supreme Court is on vacation, so till the end of June. So I do not see any impetus for the court to do anything like that when it reopens in July. But of course, if there is a third wave or something of that sort, then maybe these things can be considered.
Okay. And yeah, please.
If you were to look at what happened with the case of Sudha Bharadwaj or Kapan, again, these are very well-known cases. Sudha Bharadwaj was said to be COVID negative, but she complained and she actually fell very ill in this last 2 to 3 weeks. With the fact of inattention on the part of the jail authorities, this has been very well documented. Now, Kapan's case, where Kapan was shifted from UP jail to Delhi because of the order of the Supreme Court. And even before the order had worked itself out, the UP police took them back right under the nose of the Supreme Court without the order of the Supreme Court there. Now, this shows the type of disdain that the executive has towards even the mightiest of our courts, the Supreme Court. Now, if this is the type of attitude of the state executive, political executive, it only shows the fact that a serious crisis is there, not just in COVID, but also a crisis of governance and the law. Now, the state has filed a petition before the counter before the Supreme Court, saying that you have asked for all these reports about oxygen, but we will not give it to you because you're not entitled or you're not specialist enough to understand these things. Now, very clearly, they're cocking a snook at the Supreme Court. Now, I'm mentioning these things to point out that in the case of political prisoners and what happens inside jails, now there is a quarantine around the jail. So nobody from outside can go in. There is no communication from inside coming outside. So if at all you get to know about the situation outside, it's more by accident than by a system in place, which makes it all the more important that we need to open up these jails. Otherwise, you will only have a sense of casualties, which will add to the number of COVID deaths. Now, what's the point in talking about it in a post-mortem manner when you could have very easily ensured that there is better care to these prisoners? Example of Sudha and Kapan are only examples. There are probably numerous other examples in other states which I never heard about, in Jharkhand, in Chhattisgarh, in Bengal, in Karnataka, in Andhra, and various other states. And I think we need to really focus on many of these states because we don't get to know about what's happening there.
All right. We'll wrap up this conversation there then. Thank you both for joining us on the Hindu's Parle podcast today. We hope to see both of you again soon.
Thank you.
Okay.